Blog Talk Radio.
Injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this. And it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
And you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, Today, many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Wait, to leave Martin out of it for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man. Martin's rare for two reasons, partly because just because he is. And because he's a real Christian, everybody believes in nonviolence. He's right at something in himself, which permits him, allows him to do it. And he still has great moral authority in the South. There's none whatever in the North.
I want to take this time out to thank you tonight, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Movement Night. We want to say, to the Dr. King family who lost Dexter, Dr. King's son, passed. So there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. That was Dr. King, one of Dr. King's son, Dexter King, passed today. You might not know about it, but I'm telling you about it. And I want to say to you tonight, every letter, every telephone call has been an expression of love. That love goes from breath to breath, from heart to heart. And some of you have turned your back away from God. I got something to say to you. Is you can't be God-given. You can't beat God working for you. And I want to say to you, Sister Roshana, give me a call. Sister Deborah Ann, give me a call. And I want to thank every letter, every telephone call, those have called. And, you know, one thing I'm saying to you tonight, I want to share this with you. I had Dr. King on, and we're praying for the King family. And this was Dr. King, had two sons, and Dexter just passed the day. Dexter King passed. And we're praying for that family, so much of death in that family. But I want to tell you, God is available. God is still available for you. Whatever you're doing, God is available for you. And I just want you to know that tonight, God is available for you. The prodigal son broke away from home. He said, Daddy, give me what fall to me and let me leave. I got to see the world. After his daddy gave him his potion or whatever, he left. But he found out when all his money was gone, God was still available. And I want you to know tonight, God is still available for you to heal your body, to heal your mind. God is still available to touch you, body, mind, and soul. Some of you got alcohol problem. You got drug problem. You got family problem. Family ain't getting together. But God is still available. I was telling a young lady that had called me from Baltimore, Maryland. I told her God is available. But you got to understand Psalms 28, I want you to read. I want you to read Psalms 59 and Psalms 51. God is still available. And you can't be God-given. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want to say to you tonight, God is available for you, man. Woman, God is available for you. With all that's going on, the devil don't want you to know that God is a healer. Cataracts, tumors, high blood, low blood, sugar. God is still a healer. And he's available for you and me. And I want you to know tonight, I want you to put it in your spirit. Write it down. God is available for me. I'll ask the question, is you available for God? God is available for us, and we have to let go and let God. We can't let family and children and family mess us up. We got to stand tall and know God is available, and you have not because you ask not. The question is, what have you asked God for lately? You have not because you ask not. I wish I had somebody tonight know what I'm talking about. And I want to talk to you. And the word I want to send you, God is still available. He have never left. You might have left him. You might have went anywhere. But I want to say to you, God is still available for me and you. He can make you walk, make you talk. He can heal your body, cataract, tumor, high blood. He's a healer. Somebody getting healed as I speak in their throat. Somebody getting healed in their chest. I'm praying for that heart attack, that stroke. I'm praying for that swelling of the joints. God is healing tonight, not tomorrow night, tonight. Whatever you need, God got. Whatever you want, God got. This is the night, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. movement night. And Dexter King have passed. And Dexter King was Dr. King's son. He passed, so there's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. So we're praying for the King family. And Dr. King said, we're going to Washington to get our check. Somebody said, Bishop, what are you talking about, get our check? Reparation. What our ancestors fought for and worked for. So we're praying for Dexter family, the King family, Alberta. We're praying for Martin Jr. and the family. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. And you can't beat God.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists. Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person.
rock and fight. Hey, cause I believe in you. Oh, if I can see it, then I can do it.
Francis, his sister Sherry,
right there in Washington, Louisiana. God bless you. He's there. Esther Monjo. Friends in here tonight. Lisa Maxson, friends of you. Deborah Ann, wake up. Mama, I'm praying for you tonight. You can't beat God given tonight. And I want to say to you tonight, God is available with all your tricks and your schemes, all your lies. God is available. The devil's standing there telling you he's not. But I want to share with you tonight, God is available for you. When we was in Arkansas, down in Mississippi and Louisiana, I let people know God is available. And I want to say that this month, first month of the year, God is available to clean you out of dope, drugs, alcohol. God is still available. As I pray for you tonight, as you get ready to receive, and you say, God is available. You need to write that down or you just need to say it. Lift your hands up and say, God is available for my new home, for my new car, for my new life. God, right in Chicago, Detroit, California. I'm praying with Sister Lorraine and her family lost a loved one. There's no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. You can't beat God's blessing. You can't beat God's giving. I don't care how you try. God's going to give to you more you give to him. And you got to let go tonight and let God keep on blessing you. It might seem like it's dark. I'm praying for the young lady who had a nervous breakdown. Praying for your healing tonight. I'm praying for that lady who said her family members were shot and killed. She don't know why. I want to say to you, there's no sorrow on earth that heaven could not heal. And I just want you to let God heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. Sometimes you have to wait on God.
Father,
I want you to get ready tonight for the word of God to touch you. Some of you crossed up and messed up. Some of you don't know what's going on. God has left you in the land of living. The word I want to leave with you, God is available right now for you. And sometimes, you know, the prodigal son says, Dad, give me what belongs to me. I better get out of here. Sometimes you got to come back and repent to God. God, forgive me. I made a mistake. And I want to tell you tonight, if you made a mistake, you can't get off of dope or alcohol. I'm praying tonight for your deliverance. I'm praying tonight for your breakthrough. If you got a need to plant a seed, go to my website, theseedabrahamyourfaith.com, and go to PayPal or go to Cash Out, Bishop Turner, and whatever you need to do, do it quick, fast, shoot. And in a hurry, I just feel an angel. I'm praying for you. The lady said you had a problem with her eyes. I'm praying for your eyes. Praying for your knees. All over, God is able.
Be it secular or sacred, there isn't a greater love story than the story of the prodigal son. Jesus dramatically tells of God's love and God's patience and God's long suffering and God's concern about man in this passage. He intended to show, first of all, the danger of self-righteousness in the characterization of the son that stayed at home. Although he stayed at home, although he did not go astray, although he did not engage in wild and riotous living, when his brother was redeemed and was regained, he was too selfish to come in and join in the banquet and celebrate the recovery of his lost brother. So that Jesus intends for us to learn in this that it is as dangerous to stay in the church and be selfish as it is to go out but finally come back. Now the theme of this passage is love. And Jesus intended to show us that God is a God of the law. Now Jesus also said that God was not the God of the living, or rather of the dead, but a God of the living. By that, he did not mean that he turned his back on you when you die. But he rather meant that no man is dead with God. And David had us to know that we cannot escape to any realm where God is not. If he went into the heavens, if he went to the utmost parts of the earth, if he made his bed in hell, behold, God is there. So God is the God of the lost. You do not believe that he's the God of the lost, make up in your mind to come back to God. And like the father of the prodigal, his arms will be wide open. And a rope will be waiting, you understand, in his one rope of blessing. Now, I said the theme of this story is love. Jesus in this chapter tells of three things that were lost. First, he tells of lost sheep. Secondly, he tells of lost money. Thirdly, he tells of a lost son. In the case of the lost sheep, the shepherd went back over his his steps and over his traveling the day, the previous day, and searched in every ravine and every mountainside and every valley until he had regained the sheep that was lost. The woman who lost one of her corns of ten stuck in every corner.
Yeah.
And under every bed and behind every door.
Yeah.
Until she had found her lost corn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's no word of anybody having gone out to look for this lost son. You see, in the case of the sheep, we have the loss of property.
Yeah.
In the case of the lost coin, we have financial loss.
Yeah.
In the case of the son, we have human loss.
Yeah.
People go out looking to regain lost property.
Yeah.
People work double shifts in order to regain lost money.
Yeah.
But very few people bother themselves about trying to regain lost son.
Yeah.
Lost daughter.
Yeah.
Lost husband or lost wife.
Yeah.
Or even lost friend.
Yeah.
This young man, in the case of the prodigal son, why, became restless, according to the story, and became a little impatient with the discipline and order and regulation of his home.
Yeah.
Possibly his brother led a life that was too dull. Possibly the loving rule of his father was a little irritating. Yet he was young, and the blood of youth was dancing for anxiety and excitement in his veins. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home.
Yeah.
Alien to the traditional situation among his people.
Yeah.
Alien to the things that were native to him.
Yeah.
The far country of excitement beckoned to him.
Yeah.
And he went to his father and petitioned him, "Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me."
Yeah.
Did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pig pen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. You see, there are situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here listening to me have gone through experiences and know that there are times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first. But the first law of grace is others first. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight. Listen if you please. And it took a little adversity.
Yeah.
It took a little sickness.
Yeah.
Or it took a little misfortune.
Yeah.
Or it took a little shake-up in your life to help you to find yourself.
Yeah.
You see, this Christian man did. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me. His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen, if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pigpen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. I wish I had somebody here to share with me. You see, there are situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here listening at me have gone through experiences and know that there are times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first, but the first law of grace is others first. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight. Just if you please. And it took a little adversity. It took a little sickness. Or it took a little misfortune. Or it took a little shake-up in your life to help you to find yourself. You see, this young man didn't find himself until he had gone all the way from a palace to a pig pen. Pray with me if you please. Took his journey into a far country. For he was alien. Alien from God, alien from friends, alien from his surroundings and from his native home. The wild blue yonder called. And there was nothing at home that could satisfy him. Hence he took his journey into a far country. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, Father, give me all. I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
My Lord.
Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me. If David was author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes a retrospect back down the vista of the past. And begins to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies? No, sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from...
Can we do it?
remember this one. This one. This little light of mine.
What?
need to hear. Touch me more to hear me. Let me hear you say, touch me more. Touch me more. Touch me more. Touch me more. When the war is over,
hey everybody, this is Brother Calvin. This edition of Trillion Dollar Flow, we're going to go into Ponzi.
Time. The world won't get gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah, just you and me. Change it, yeah.